Today on Wings,
two world-renowned environmental and human rights leaders led off the three-day International Women's Environment and Climate Summit in September 2013 outside New York City. I'm Melinda Tuhus. I attended the summit, and what you're about to hear are excerpts from a longer conversation the first night of the gathering.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, had a conversation with Jane Goodall and Vandana Shiva before an audience of 100 women who are global climate leaders in their own right. Goodall is the world's preeminent expert on chimpanzees, the species closest to humans. She founded the Jane Goodall Institute to protect chimpanzee habitat and the livelihoods of the humans who share the land in Tanzania. Roots and Shoots is a program of the Institute that encourages youth to follow their dreams for improving the lives of animals, of humans, and the environment. Vandana Shiva is a researcher and author and a leader of the anti-globalization movement, and especially of the movement against the use of genetically modified organisms in food. She promotes organic agriculture, soil health, and the rights of small farmers.
Let's start with Vandana Shiva. Where were you born? How did you come to commit your life to a sustainable planet?
I'm born in a beautiful valley called Doon Valley in the Himalaya. And I took for granted that the forests and rivers I had grown with would be there forever, because they were. And then in the early 70s, the streams started to disappear, the forest started to disappear. That's around the time peasant women of our area just rose and started the movement Chipko, which means to embrace, to hug. And the movement basically was women saying, we'll put our bodies before the trees, so you can't cut them, because these trees are our mothers. They give us food, fuel, water, but more importantly, they give us soil, water, and pure air. That time I was doing my PhD in the foundations of quantum theory, hidden variables and non-locality. And I was doing it in Canada, but I made a commitment that every vacation I would come and volunteer for Chipko. And I always say I did a PhD in the University of Western Ontario on quantum theory, but all my learning of ecology really came from the women of the Himalaya. And then, even though we managed to stop the logging in the hills because of Chipko, then came globalization, and then came everything else, and the GMOs and the Monsantos. So 4 decades I've been serving the earth and serving people, and started the research foundation really to, I call it the Institute for Counter Expertise, because so much of what is called expertise is there to destroy the earth, to exploit, and to reward the exploiters. And I thought knowledge is about something else.
And Dr. Jane Goodall.
Well, I suppose I began loving nature when I was, I don't know, 1 and a half. Apparently, I was always crawling about looking at insects and plants and things like that.
Where were you born?
In England, born in London. Moved out to Bournemouth on the coast because of World War II. And when I was 10 years old, we had very little money. When I was 10 years old, I loved books, and I used to haunt a second-hand bookshop. And I found a little book I could just afford, and I bought it and I took it home, and I climbed up my favorite tree and I read that book from cover to cover, and that was Tarzan of the Apes. I immediately fell in love with Tarzan, and goodness, I mean, he married the wrong Jane, didn't he? At any rate, I was 10 years old, and I decided I would grow up, go to Africa, live with animals, and write books about them. Everybody laughed at me. How would I do that? Not only no money, Africa, the dark continent, but, you know, I was a girl. Girls didn't do that sort of thing. I think I was amazingly blessed because of the mother I had. But for her, I doubt I would be sitting here now. So where everybody else said to me, Jane, dream about something you can afford. Forget this nonsense about Africa. She said, if you really want something and you work hard and you take advantage of opportunity and you never give up, you will find a way. So anyway, it's not important. I saved up, I got to Africa, I got the opportunity to go and learn not about any animal but chimpanzees. I was living in my dream world, the forest in Gombe National Park in Tanzania. It was Tanganyika when I began. It's beautiful, amazing rivers and waterfalls. And I was learning about these extraordinary beings so like us, helping us in a way to understand who we are. And then I discovered at a big conference in 1986 that right across Africa, chimpanzees were going. Their forest world was going. And so I began traveling around in Africa, talking to whoever I could find about chimpanzee conservation and forest conservation. And then I found how the African people were suffering, about the poverty, about the disease, about the ethnic violence. And then I began to realize how so many of Africa's problems, which were leading to the destruction of the forest, were caused by outside influences. And that the evil of the old colonial era was carrying on, and that some of the big multinationals were doing the same thing, were moving in to Africa and other developing countries and taking the natural resources and leaving people poorer than ever. And so I began traveling around also in North America, in Europe, and increasingly in Asia, and learning more and more about the harm that we have inflicted on the environment. And that's what's brought me into spending my life helping to protect the forest as much as we can, and learning how the destruction of the forest not only is destroying the chimpanzees and other animals, but increasing climate change.
You're listening to a conversation with Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, Jane Goodall, and Vandana Shiva, recorded at the International Women's Environment and Climate Summit in September 2013.
You know, the motto of Democracy Now! Is the exception to the rulers, because that's what we have to be, holding those in power accountable. And I think across your disciplines, that is what you do. And I was wondering how you do it. If you could give us examples of how you challenge power that you feel is damaging the earth and what you are doing now to change that. Vandana.
You know, a lot of the power of the rulers comes from what Bacon said, the marriage of knowledge with power, a particular kind of knowledge, a very mechanistic knowledge that defined nature as dead, and on the other side, women as passive. So the exception to the rulers in this case is about resurrecting the knowledges that are about the living earth and our tradition. And I'm so touched that this evening began with the beautiful prayer and legacy of the First Nations with Janice, and then the beautiful music from Melanie. Now, to me, this is the United States of America. Traditions that are totally submerged. So my commitment has been first and foremost to really, you know, do a resurrection of hidden knowledges and worldviews, which is what women bring to this discussion. And every time I've done a study, even when government and United Nations will commission it, the first thing I do is go talk to the women in the villages. So for example, I was asked to look at the impact of mining in Doon Valley. That's when I gave up my job and work in Bangalore and returned to Dehradun to start the foundation. And the government was writing this TOR on the ugly look of the mountains, because Indira Gandhi had commented. So I went to the women. I said, what's the issue with this mining? And they said, water. They said, that limestone holds the water. None of the scientists said it. So I rewrote the terms of reference and did the participatory analysis. But the second thing we always do is, because it's participatory, people know. People have knowledge. It might not be recognized by the dominant system, which I call corporate patriarchy now. It was capitalist patriarchy when CIPCO happened, because the corporations weren't such big players in our lives. They were contained by all the rules of democracy, and they've knocked those rules off bit by bit. The other thing I always do is build the movement simultaneously, because I don't think you can fight these battles top to top. You just can't. So for every study we've done and every piece of research we've done, one, we've countered a paradigm. I mean, all my work on the Green Revolution, it was assumed the Green Revolution produces more. Found out, no, it doesn't. It produces more commodities, but commodities are not food. And then we build the movement when I came to know about how intellectual property rights were being put into the World Trade Organization. I traveled the length and breadth of the country, sitting and holding workshops with farmers, who then rose, and 500,000 came to the street. You're talking about 92, before Seattle, and we were together in Seattle, Amy. So it's a combination of major grassroots mobilization, as well as dealing with the paradigm wars. And I think the challenge of this summit is to put forth another paradigm about how to live on the earth. What the earth is first. She's not a, you know, she's not there to be engineered. She's not bits of dead rock. She is the living earth that we were reminded about. And also, through that, bring forth another leadership for another world, because we don't want leadership in that rotten world of destruction.
Why are women key here, Dr. Jane Goodall? And talk about, in your decades of struggle, the role women have played. Maybe you can give specific examples of victories that you've had.
Well, I think, you know, I come from this from studying chimpanzees, right? And when you study chimpanzees, there's a male role and a female role, and they're very different. The male is responsible for protecting the territory and the resources in the territory for his females and his young, and enlarging it if he can. It sounds familiar, it sounds human. The female is responsible for raising her young, for finding enough food to raise her young, in which she is helped by the male. And I think I can't help saying, as we start off this conference with the role of women, which is so very important, of a saying, and I first heard this when I was in Mexico, but I think the saying was from Ecuador, I'm not sure. But one of the indigenous people said, in our tribe, we have a saying that a tribe flies like the condor, and the tribe will only fly true when the wings of the condor are in balance, and one wing is male and one wing is female. The tribe will fly true when the wings are in balance. So as we move into this, and I wish I was here for the whole few days, but as we move into this, we have to remember we're in a world where men are in it as well as women. And men have traditionally been put in the same role as the male chimpanzees. They're there, they've been protecting the territory. You know, in the old days, they were responsible totally for the for looking after the family, for getting the money. They were the breadwinners, they were all these things. And today, women are moving into those traditionally male roles. I've been fascinated by watching this change. And so watching as our women have moved into leadership roles, I noticed that initially, to get into those positions, the women were trying to be more men, more male than the men. And there was a stridency and an anger in some of those early women leaders, which is understandable. But I think and I feel that that's changed, that women are moving into leadership positions and they are confident in their femininity. And women traditionally are nurturing. Women traditionally nurture their young. The seven generations are important to women. And this is what I see. And I think, what's gone wrong? What's gone wrong with us? We've lost that wisdom. That is the wisdom of making a decision today based on how will it affect our people seven generations ahead. And we've lost that wisdom, and now we make decisions based on how will it help me now? How will it help the next shareholders meeting? So there's a disconnect between the head and the heart. And I'm hoping and praying that women can come together and heal that disconnect. Because if we don't operate with our amazing head, the brain is what makes us more different from the other animals than anything else. With the human heart, love and compassion, we'll never get there. And we do somehow need to create a world where we have two equal wings and find the roles for our boys as well as our girls. I just feel it's terribly important.
You're listening to a conversation with Amy Goodman, Jane Goodall, and Vandana Shiva, recorded at the International Women's Environment and Climate Summit in September 2013.
Vandana, how do you nurture climate action?
The first thing is to bring it down from the stratosphere. I think one reason the climate movement on the grassroots has taken longer to grow than movements around biodiversity conservation or water, etc., is because everyone got so overwhelmed with the parts per million. But every emission begins on the ground. And every mitigation and adaptation action is on the ground. That's why I wrote my book, Soil Not Oil. I was starting to feel worried that not only were we only dealing with the IPCC reports that had kind of become the only place you could act and go to the climate summits, but we were missing the biggest piece of where do greenhouse gas emissions come from. You might remember the Kyoto Protocol was supposed to reduce emissions by 5%, and by the time we went to Copenhagen, emissions had increased 16%, because the solution in Kyoto was allow the polluters to trade in emissions and buy credits from those who don't pollute. Not only did this make big money for the polluters, but worse, because it all became such a racket, all kinds of really devastating activities started to be treated as clean get development mechanisms. One example is the fact that this year, 16th, 17th of June, we had the most intensive rains and a glacial lake burst and flooding like I've never seen in my life. Took place, 20,000 people have died in my region, the region where the CHIPCO movement started. The damage was accelerated by hydro projects, which were all getting clean development mechanism money, in addition to all the benefits government gives. Agriculture, industrial globalized agriculture, is 40% of the greenhouse gases. We can do something about it today. I think creating organic farms and organic gardens is the single biggest climate solution. But it's also the single biggest food security solution. And given the economic crisis, both in this country, you watch Southern Europe, you see the riots in Greece, in Italy, in Spain, and I work with youth. Unemployed youth in all of these places, one of the things I'm telling them all is go back to the land. You know, the banks messed up your lives, the governments have given up on you with their austerity programs, but the earth will never abandon you. She's inviting you to be co-creators and co-producers so that we can solve all these multiple problems which are interconnected. And I think if there's one thing women can bring is the capacity to see connections. That's the disease that deeply patriarchal mindset has not been able to overcome, that they can't transcend fragmentation and separation and thinking in silos. And worse, thinking as if we are separate from the earth. And therefore, as masters and conquerors, there's just another experiment of control that you need the freedom to have. And I think we need to give a message saying, no, the earth was not made by you, therefore you can't fool around further. You've already messed up enough. We need to tell them this world is about life, not just about your profits and your bottom line. So don't reduce everything to a commodity. And don't financialize every function of the earth and all her gifts. So I think this is really the moment for another discussion, another thinking. And in all of this, the beautiful thing is the concrete solutions are the most radical ones. The abstract has had its day.
And Dr. Jane Goodall.
I think none of us in this room believe it's too late. But you know, I hear biologists, and I'm sure you do too, and you must have, who liken us now to being on a big ship. We're all on this big ship together. It's a huge one. And up on the top, there's a lookout. And he sees rocks ahead. There's going to be a shipwreck. So he calls out the warning, and we all rush and try to turn the wheel. But the momentum of the ship is such that we're going to have a shipwreck. And that's what biologists, I've heard them tell us, we've reached the point of no return. It doesn't matter what we do. So if it doesn't matter what we do, then why should we bother to do anything? Why are we all sitting here? I don't believe there's one person in this room who believes that. But what is so desperately important is that our young people should have hope. Because if our youth loses hope, we may as well all give up. There's no point your fighting, Vandana, because what's the point? If our young people have no hope, they will do nothing.
You're listening to a conversation with Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, Jane Goodall, and Vandana Shiva, recorded at the International Women's Environment and Climate Summit in September 2013. Goodall is the world's preeminent expert on chimpanzees, the species closest to humans. She founded the Jane Goodall Institute to protect chimpanzee habitat and the livelihoods of the humans who share the land in Tanzania. Roots and Shoots is a program of the Institute that encourages youth to follow their dreams for improving the lives of animals, of humans, and the environment.
And so Roots and Shoots is about young people. You know, the main message is every single one of us makes a difference every single day. You can't live through a day without making an impact. And we have a choice. What kind of impact are we going to make? So every individual makes a difference. And because we're all different, and because we tick to a different tune, young people in Roots and Shoots programs from preschool all the way through university and beyond are choosing themselves three different kinds of projects to make the world a better place. They choose something to help people, they choose something to help animals, and they choose something to help the environment with a theme of let's learn to live in peace and harmony, not just with each other, but with Mother Earth too.
I also wanted to ask Jane, we last had you on Democracy Now! When you wrote Harvest of Hope, A Guide to Mindful Eating. The relationship between what we eat to climate change and climate action.
Well, it's huge because I think Vandana has already talked about the intensive farming, the Green Revolution, and how this is leading to climate change. And how the huge fields, the monoculture that destroys biodiversity, as more and more people eat more and more meat, this is an absolute disaster for climate change. First of all, huge areas of forest are cut down to provide grain, to feed the livestock, or to provide grazing. I've seen it happening myself in South America. I've seen it happening in Tanzania and Kenya. So as these animals are kept in intensive farms in horribly cruel conditions, maybe we don't care about the animals, some people don't, but even if we don't care about the animals, what's happening to keep them alive in these horrible places. They're fed antibiotics routinely, and this means that the bacteria are building up resistance and people have died from a scratch on the finger. Plus they're fed grain when they're normally grass eaters, and they create an awful lot of methane gas, which is a much worse gas for climate change than CO2 even. Harvest for Hope, the book I've just finished, is about the plantations. It's about the exploitation of not only women, but the male slaves, the women out in the fields, the women being forced to pick the tea that's being contaminated, the women being forced to pick the cotton that is most horribly contaminated with pesticides. It's always the women out there who are having to do this. But if we put the whole thing together, what you're talking about, Vandana, you know, the kind of farming, we must become organic. We must go back to urban farming, to growing our own food, to feeling at one with the earth.
The industrial farming system, which claims to be producing more food, is not a food system. It's a raw material producing system, a commodity producing system. Only 28% of all the food eaten on the planet comes from industrial farms. The rest comes from small ecological farms. Only 10% of the GMOs of corn and soya is eaten by humans. The rest goes for torturing animals who didn't want to eat the grain but wanted to eat the grass, as well as biofuel, and increasingly with corn, high fructose corn syrup, which is displacing natural sugars on a very rapid scale because it's easier to handle, cheaper for the Coca-Colas, addictive, all the virtues for the food industry. The argument that organic cannot feed the world is settled, that it's the only way we can actually feed the world. The Food and Agriculture Organization has done assessments again and again and again, particularly in Africa, that you get 200% increase by shifting to ecological methods. Just yesterday, the UNCTAD, the UN Conference on Trade and Development, which was the main body on trade before the GATT and the WTO were formed, just released a report 2 days ago, how if humanity has to avert a very severe crisis in food, they'd better shift to small-scale ecological and local food system, because the industrial food system is creating catastrophes. The International Labour Organization, which deals with labour, has said small farms are the only way the economic crisis can be dealt with. So no matter which window you look at it, ecological organic is the only answer.
Vandana Shiva, in discussion with Jane Goodall and Amy Goodman at the International Women's Earth and Climate Summit in 2013. Audio produced for Wings by Melinda Tuhus. Find updates from the Women's Earth and Climate Network at wecaninternational.org. To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. Special thanks to your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose new website is spelled gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.